still with them on this earth. So Lord God, today we will contact that mother. We will love that mother. We will tell that mother how much we appreciate it. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name now just to open our eyes. Father, as mothers and fathers and Father, the fathers and the mothers that are here to come will hear something today that will alter their lives. And Father God, that they can have an impartation into their lives and understand more about the purpose of parenting. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Anoint our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive the precious, precious seed and word of God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 16. I'm going to read 3 verses, 1, 2, and 3. We're talking here about Timothy. Paul is on the missionary journey, and he's come now to Derbe and to Lystra. And this is where he meets Timothy, or at least this is where he comes into this contact with Timothy. And he, Paul, came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. And he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted this man to go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. I rapidly turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. What we are doing is we are getting an overview rapidly of Timothy and the influences in his life. What you will be seeing is that his influence, the major influence in Timothy's life, particularly at his younger ages, was his mother. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am sure that it is in you as well. And for this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, of love, and of discipline. Now in chapter 3 of that same book, verses 14 and 15. You, speaking again to Timothy, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced. King James Bible says assured. Continue in those things that you have become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. I want to talk briefly about Timothy. A couple of points. I'll ask you firstly a question. How many of you had a mother? That's most of us. Most of us had a mother. How many of you had a grandmother? All I'm trying to emphasize here is that motherhood is universal. Motherhood touches everybody. Even the Lord Jesus had a natural mother. Okay? It is necessary to have a mother. Even Jesus had to have a mother. Now, it's universal. And what I want to do today is I want to, first of all, encourage us to love our mothers and understand that what we are is much because of our mothers, but also I want to encourage the mothers today, and I want you mothers to understand a part or a potential of your life, not just the mothers, but also the grandmothers, of understanding what you are of God to impart into your children. Now, the Apostle Paul knew Timothy. He loved Timothy. He talks about how he met him and he wanted him to go with him on the missionary journeys. He talks about here in 2 Timothy how he loves Timothy, how he prays for Timothy night and day. The Living Bible, as I read it, says sometimes I'll get up in the middle of the night and I'll pray for you, Timothy. And it's just a loving relationship that these two people had together. And Timothy knew Paul and Paul knew Timothy, but Paul knew more about Timothy than just knowing Timothy. Paul knew Timothy's mother, and Paul knew Timothy's grandmother, and Paul knew Timothy's father. And when you really understand a person's parentage, then you really begin to understand more about the person. He says that your mother is a believer. But the father was a Greek. And the first thing that I want to minister to our people here is that many of you ladies serve God with all of your heart. You're very diligent about the things of God, but your husbands aren't so diligent. Some of them aren't saved. Some of them have never confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Others have, but are not fervent in their service for Him. But what I still want you to see is, even though that may be the case, even though your father, the father of your children, may not be serving the Lord God in the capacity which you want him to, you can still impart tremendous assets into your child's life, so much so that he can become an apostle of God, that he can be a pastor, that he can become all that he needs to be if you will diligently impart into this individual's life the things that you as a mother can do. And the first thing I want to do is encourage you. It's interesting to me that the scripture says that Timothy was the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. Now, what Timothy was given the opportunity to do in his life was choose which way he would go. Would he follow the ways of his father into the world and be just another Greek? Or would he follow the ways of his mother and become faithful to the things of God and become faithful to the household of God? Well, it's obvious of what he did. He became circumcised because they all knew that his father was a Greek. What he says is, "Dad, I'm not going to follow you," doesn't mean he didn't love his daddy. Didn't mean he wasn't obedient to his daddy. But what it does mean is that he decided that what he wanted to do was become circumcised and go the way of God and to serve the people and the ministries of God. And so he was circumcised, and he says, "Daddy, I'm cutting off. I'm not following you. I'm going this way." Now, he got that impartation from his mother, not from his father. Timothy became what Timothy became, not because of daddy, because of mama. And what I want you to do today, ladies, I want to encourage you so much, even if your husband is fervent in the things of God, there is still an impartation that only you and you only can bring to your children. An impartation of godliness, an impartation that they cannot receive any other way. And if done correctly, they will not follow the ways of the world, even though daddy might be out there. But they will follow the ways of God, even into the circumcision. And I want to encourage you, and I want you to know that today. It was because of his mother, not because of his father, that he continued and became the man of God, the apostle of God. Timothy was an apostle, pastor of a church, man of God. I want to tell you this, if you will do what you're to do diligently, if you will raise your children in the way that they should go and be diligent about it, God will make sure that through town one day will come a man of God who will become their spiritual father, will put hands on your children one day and impart into them the things that are necessary for them to fulfill their purposes. The second thing that I see here, I want to talk about the forefather faith that Paul talks about. I want to talk about this sincere faith that he mentions. Paul says here, "I serve God." We read this in 2 Timothy. He says, "I serve God the way my forefathers did." Now, Paul came from a heredity. He came from a lineage of godly mothers and fathers. He was a son of a Pharisee. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. And it was in his lineage all down through time just to be in the people of God. And these things were imparted into him. And he says, "I can serve God the way my forefathers did." And it's easy for him to do this. And then he goes on down and he says, "Timothy, I thank God because I see this sincere faith in you." And I began to meditate about that. And I wanted to kind of think, what's he talking about here? What is this? What is this that Paul's talking about? Well, you see, Paul didn't battle many of the things that you and I battle. He didn't battle things that new converts battle, and some of us aren't such new converts, but we still battle some things because it hasn't been handed down to us from generation to generation. Some things were nearly bred in Paul. It was like he breathed things. He just had revelation in him that came forth not simply because he was so intelligent and so intellectual, but much because he was just, these things were just brought to him from his forefathers. Let me give you some examples and you'll see what I'm talking about. Nobody had to tell Paul on Wednesday night that he needed to come to the house of God and pray. Paul knew that prayer was an interesting and a very important aspect of walking in God. Now, how many of you have ever battled with Wednesday night prayer? Come on, let me see some hands now. All right. You see, and we need to understand that Paul didn't battle with that. It was just a part of Paul's life that he knew he should pray. How many of you know that you should pray, but you battle with prayer sometimes? See? Paul didn't fight that fight. That was in him. He saw his daddy pray. He saw his mama pray. He saw his granddaddy pray. He saw his grandmama pray. And he didn't have any problems with prayer. We were out here praying with the young people one night, and we had the board set up. And many of you know what I'm talking about. We got our board set up for our prayer request, and we move things from board to board as God answers our prayer. And it keeps us in track, and it keeps us focusing together, and it keeps us agreeing on the same thing. Well, Pastor Tebow had prayed, and I prayed, and Dr. Cash came up and prayed, and then Dr. Cash handed Lance the microphone and told Lance to pray. How many of you were here that night and remember Lance praying? Okay. There was an anointing that was on him. I want you to see, Lance is not having a problem with prayer. Lance comes out here every day after school and prays. Not because he's under a condemnation trip that he's got to pray, but because he's seen me pray, he's seen you pray, he's seen some things happen, and he knows that he's supposed to pray, and he's not battling with should he pray or not. Do you hear that? And so he can just take a microphone and start praying. Pray better than I could. Linda Wilkie came up to me and she said, "Boy, I bet the buttons of your shirt's about to pop off." No, he just knows he's supposed to pray. It's not something he has to work at. Do you understand? I have to work at it, see. Because I'm kind of a patriarch in this thing. I'm doing some things that I haven't been taught to do, or I don't know how to do them. I'm just doing them. How many of you know that Bonnie will never have a problem with praising God? How many of you have a problem with dance? You have a little problem dancing. Do you understand? Bonnie does not have a problem with dancing. And it's because she's seen her mother do it, she's seen me do it, and she knows it's just what you're supposed to do. When you come to God, house of God, you're supposed to praise Him. Where's Kelly Jo? She's gone to the back. Kelly Jo is 5 years old. You get sick, and Kelly Jo will come up to you and say, "Can I pray for you?" Let me tell you what happened. We were in here preparing for the wedding Saturday with Cindy and with Jim. Friday night. And little Ashley was going to be the flower girl, and she was sick. Am I right, Doug? Now, you straighten me out if I'm wrong. And she was sick. She had a fever. She was burning up. So little Kelly Jo walks up to her and Judy get an agreement. And Kelly Jo says, "I want to pray for her." And she put her hands on her and prayed for her. How long was it before she was up running around? 5 minutes? 5 minutes she was running around here. She had no fever. She was healed. Because Kelly Jo prayed for her. Kelly Jo doesn't have a problem with prayer. Some of you are so timid, you're afraid to walk up and touch somebody and pray for them. Kelly Jo doesn't. This is forefather faith. This is what I'm trying to say. This is sincere faith. This is something that is bred kind of into people. It comes through the generations, and they see it, and they just do it. Paul didn't have problems with that. Timothy, he says, "Timothy, you shouldn't have problems with that because I see it in your mother, Lois, in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice." God didn't give us a spirit of timidity. Is that what he's saying here? It's exactly what he's saying. "Because I see it in Lois, I saw it in Eunice, it's in you, Timothy." Dr. Cash, I don't believe people had to teach Paul to give. He saw his daddy give, he saw his mama give, he saw his granddaddy give, he saw his uncles give. It was in his heart. "As you purpose in your heart," he says, "give." This is okay, isn't it? This is forefather faith. This is sincere faith. This is faith that you just don't wake up one day and you have. This is something that you see, you visualize, you experience because God is upon you and you're watching it happen all around you. Heritage. Paul didn't have a problem with criticism. He didn't have a problem with backbiting. He didn't have a problem with immorality. Why? Because he was bred that way. He saw it from his parenting that way. This is forefather faith. This is the sincere faith. He didn't have trouble with being a part of the body. Pastor Tebow, he didn't have problems with knowing that he was a part of the body. He wrote the book on being a part of the body. He says, "The hand can't say to the eye, 'I don't need you.'" He knew the importance of these things. And these are things that you and I struggle with. These are things because it was not brought to us through our mothers and through our fathers that many of us are, you're just like me. You may have been saved a long time, but you're having to learn a lot of things that you've never been taught to do. We all know we should pray, but I never had anybody to teach me how to pray.
And so I'm having to learn how to pray, putting things on boards and getting an agreement and praying and hollering. And Judas says, you don't have to holler when you pray. I'm learning. Give me some grace. You know, give me some space. I'm learning some things because I'm trying to come into the things of God. This is what I'm talking about. This is forefather faith. This is this sincere faith. Paul didn't have to struggle with these things. They were a part of his life. They were a part of his genetic makeup. He was showed these things since he was a baby, and he knew that Timothy had been shown these things since he was a child from his mother, from his grandmother. He tells Timothy, I am sure that it is in you as well, because it was in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. Do you know, mothers, that you can be sure it can be in your kids? If you will be diligent about the things of God, if you will be diligent, you can be sure that what the Bible says, if you'll raise your children in the way they should go when they're old, what does it promise you? They will not depart from it. If it's in you, it can be in them. He calls this sincere faith. King James Bible says unfinished faith. The word, I looked it up, the sincere or the unfinished means dissembled. D-I-S-S-E-M-B-L-E. Dissembled. And it means to conceal. It means to conceal the truth of one's feelings. And he's saying, Paul, Timothy, you can't conceal the truth of how you really feel about these things. You can't dissemble it. You can't hide it because you can't disassemble it. You can't take apart what's been put in you. You can't take apart what you really are, Timothy. See, Timothy, you are really a man of God. You can't take that apart. And you're a really man of God, and you've been assembled this way because of your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And mothers, I want you to know today. I want you to know that you can assemble your children. You can cause them to be such a person that they can't hide what they really believe. I want to thank you, mothers. I want all our mothers to stand up. All of our mothers. Your mother. I want you to stand up. We want to thank you. Don't you love our mothers? We applaud you, mothers. We applaud you. Remain standing. Just stand up. Stay standing. I want to thank you for three things specifically. I want to thank you for three things. Number one, I want you to thank you for coming to this church and blessing us with your godliness. And blessing us and imparting to us and causing us to be better men, better women, better boys, better girls of God. I thank you for coming here with your godliness. Secondly, I thank you for serving God no matter what anybody else does. No matter what your husband does, no matter what your children do, no matter what your fathers did, no matter, you serve God. I thank you. I thank you for that dedication. It's an encouragement to me. When I look at some of you mothers, and I could call some names because I know some personal situations, when I look at some of the things that you battle just to come here on Sunday, and the little trivial things that I go through, I say, man, I just applaud you. I just thank you for coming here and encouraging me. And thirdly, I thank you for continuing or either beginning your forefather or your sincere faith. I believe that we are seeing things happen in our church that has been unprecedented in a long, long time. Because you are setting an example for your children. We're starting to see our young kids come up here now and praise God openly. They don't care. They dance around in a circle. They fall on the floor. They have fun. But they're learning to praise God. Because of your forefather faith, because of your sincere faith, we're starting to see little kids like Kelly Joe start praying for people and seeing them healed instantly. Because of your forefather faith, we're starting to see people come on Wednesday night to prayer. Come, and every time we get together, we're starting to see things because you're faithful, they're faithful. And I just thank you, and I applaud you. Can we applaud them one more time? I thank you. You may be seated.